Chapter 26. A Good Warrior. Ekon felt the god of death's eyes boring into him as he was marched forward. Still, he kept his head bowed.
Ekon, it has been too long.
He stole a glance upward after a moment and found that Fedu was staring down at him with a look that might have been called affectionate. It made his skin crawl. The Dirajas holding on to him stopped several feet before the god and then moved back so that it was only Ekon and Fedu standing in the middle of the lawn. To his right, Kofi was being held on either side by two other Dirajas. Her eyes were wild as they flitted back and forth between Ekon and Fedu, but the god seemed unbothered.
You traveled all this way for Kofi?
He asked, voice full of intrigue.
Yes.
Ekon said the word as boldly as he could manage, but even still, he could feel his hands, pinned at his sides, begin to move of their own accord. His fingers tapped a slower, more careful rhythm than usual.
One, two,
Fedu was standing before him, donned in a solid white dashiki and pants, the gleam of his gold chain catching in the bonfire's light. He looked nothing like the old man Ekon knew and remembered from the Temple of Lakosa now, the man who'd called himself Brother Ugo. The god before him stood tall, unblemished, unwrinkled. And yet, Ekon thought he still caught a hint of the old mirth in Fedu's eyes, the same twinkle he'd had when he'd disguised himself as an old man. Conflating the two utterly different characters was disarming.
I am impressed, said Fedu, massaging his chin. I always knew you were a head above the other candidates you competed against, the boys you called your peers. But this...
He gestured widely.
This determination, this tenacity, it is why I picked you so long ago, Ekon. You have always been a good warrior.
Ekon had looked up briefly, but at the words, he lowered his gaze again. He was embarrassed to feel tears pricking at his eyes now.
A good warrior.
The words were far too close, too reminiscent of the last conversation he'd had with Fedu in the Sky Garden.
You were the perfect combination. Keen, desperate for approval. It made you easy to mold into what I needed.
Fedu moved to stand closer to the pole where a girl was tied. Ekon had never seen her before, but he knew from what Kofi had told him that this had to be McKenna. She was a slight girl with large eyes and dark, springy hair. She only had a half second to glance at Ekon before Fedu was upon her. Ekon watched as the god pinched her chin and forced her head up so that she was looking at him. Dread pooled at the base of Ekon's stomach as a cruel smile sliced across Fedu's lips.
McKenna, he said softly. You see that boy just over there? I want you to pay close attention to him. He is going to decide tonight whether you live or die.
Chills broke out over Ekon's skin. Somewhere in the crowd, he thought he heard someone scream.
What?
At first, I thought I might leave it to Kofi.
Fedu stepped away from McKenna as fresh tears streamed down her face.
She is, after all, McKenna's friend. But then you showed up here, and a more interesting idea came to mind. The valiant warrior, come to save his heroine, but forced to do the unthinkable to achieve his mission. I've already made a deal with Kofi. Ekon, Now, I will make a deal with you.
His eyes flashed.
Kill this girl, and I will free Kofi.
No!
Ekon turned in time to see Kofi trying to step forward, straining against the two Darajas still arresting her arms.
No, Ekon, don't do it. He's lying.
Am I?
Fedu tilted his head, as though pondering an entertaining riddle.
You wouldn't let Kofi go so easily, said Ekon through his teeth. You still need her.
True,
Fedu nodded.
But I have a feeling Kofi will prove useful to me, whether she is in my custody or not.
Ekon frowned. What did he mean, whether she was in his custody or not? The god didn't give him any more time to consider the words.
Make your choice now, Ekon Okojo. Her life,
he pointed to McKenna.
Or her freedom.
He nodded to Kofi. Ekon looked from McKenna to Kofi again, panicked. Then he swallowed.
All right, I've made my choice.
Fedu's eyes danced at the same time McKenna's eyes widened with terror, but he did not look at the girl.
Come,
said Fedu.
Bow before me.
Ekon's eyes traveled the length between him and Fedu, counting. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 9 steps. He ignored the frantic beating in his chest and focused on the numbers. Numbers had always made sense. Numbers would always make sense. He took one final breath, then began the walk.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
6 steps. In his imagination, he heard Fahim's voice, a different plea.
You need to come home.
If that offer had ever really been on the table, it was gone now. Ekon's throat tightened. Even after everything, the Sons of the Six hadn't expelled him from the ranks. They'd offered him one last bridge to redemption. He'd burned it. He could never go back. There was only one path left for honor.
1, 2, 3.
3 steps. Ekon took the last few steps until he was before Fedu. As an old man, as Brother Ugo, he'd been much shorter. Now the god of death was exactly his height. Ekon's eyes shot to the creature still waiting in the shadows, the Ichisonga. Kofi had told him about it, told him what it did to people. He eyed its horn and tried to temper the nausea roiling in his gut.
Your choice,
asked the god.
I need a knife.
Ekon spoke quietly, but he sensed that the entire garden and all present could hear him. From far away, he thought he heard a dry sob, but he didn't look to see who it had come from. Fedu grinned, his white teeth gleaming wickedly. He nodded to one of the Darajas nearest to him, a young man wearing yellow. When he stepped forward, Ekon saw he had a knife in his hands. He bowed as he gave it to Fedu, who in turn offered its hilt. Ekon looked from it to the god several times, deliberating.
You wish to kill me?
Fedu murmured. He was still grinning.
You could try. Remember, though, that I am immortal. It will take far more than a common knife to end me.
Ekon had known it was true from the moment he'd asked for the knife, but he still felt something in him deflate as he heard the words aloud. He accepted the knife without a word, feeling its new weight in his palm. He rotated it in his hand, watched its blade glint golden and then orange in the garden's firelight. He looked to McKenna and found her eyes were already on him.
waiting. They were only a few feet apart. He could get to her in a matter of strides. 6 strides. Maybe 5.
Do it,
said the god. Ekon turned so that he was facing McKenna and breathed in, counting slow. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. His grip on the knife tightened as he ignored the sweat slicking his hand now. A breeze brushed his face, cooling against the bonfire's heat. With his free hand, he tapped his fingers and counted one more time.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. What are you doing?
Fedu asked.
I told you to.
Without warning, Ekon pivoted. The movement was effortless. He'd done the Duara 100 times, and yet it seemed to happen slowly. He watched as his blade sliced through the night air in a perfect circle, felt the world blur as he spun around. He caught a glimpse of Fedu's face, a fractional moment of shock, before he buried the blade in the god's chest, in the place his heart should have been. Fedu gasped.
Zane!
Ekon looked over his shoulder.
Now!
A blade wouldn't kill the god of death, but Ekon hadn't needed it to. He'd just needed to stun him long enough. Already, Zane was running forward, hands raised. Ekon didn't see the splendor as the Duraja abruptly stopped, but he felt the wave of it as Zane's eyes widened as he raised his hands. One by one, Durajas around the bonfire fell to their knees, screaming, hands pressed against their ears as though to block out a terrible sound as they screamed. Ekon had known that he was planning to do it, had expected it, but that made it no easier to see. For several seconds, he could only stare at the Durajas on the ground, bewildered, transfixed.
Ekon!
Ekon jolted from his stupor. Kofi was running past him toward one of the Durajas on the ground.
McKenna,
she shouted.
Help her!
Ekon needed no other prompt. He whirled around and saw McKenna there, still tied to the stake. Her eyes were wide with horror. Ekon rushed to her, closing the gap between them and pulling the gag from her mouth as gently as he could. She coughed.
Sorry,
he said sheepishly, moving to the back of the stake to undo the ropes.
Wait.
McKenna was still coughing, gasping.
You
cough?
Weren't going to
cough.
Kill me? That whole thing was an act?
Ekon pursed his lips.
Kofi thinks my acting skills leave a lot to be desired,
he said, pulling at the knots.
But I, for one, think that performance deserved several awards.
In the end, it had been Kofi's plan. Ekon just hadn't known if it would work. He gave the knots one more tug, and they loosened enough to fall around McKenna's ankles. She stepped away from the stake and rubbed her arms.
Sorry again, he said, about the whole pretending to kill you thing.
It's all right, said McKenna mildly.
I'm sure we'll get better acquainted another...
No!
Ekon followed McKenna's terrified gaze, new dread clawing up his throat. Across the lawn, he saw Fedu slowly rising from the ground, pulling the dagger from his chest. He tossed it to the ground, not seeming to notice as the blood oozed from the wound. Not red blood, Ekon noted. Fedu's blood was golden. It soaked his shirt as he stood, but his eyes were set on something ahead of him.
Kofi.
She had knelt down beside one of the screaming Durajas and seemed to be looking for something, not aware of Fedu.
Kofi!
Ekon shouted.
Look out!
Kofi looked up, then flinched. Fedu had already started toward her. He wasn't walking normally. For its simplicity,
The knife Ekon had stabbed him with seemed to have had some effect, but he was advancing with a single-minded focus. Ekon's eyes shot back to Kofi, and he was surprised to see she hadn't moved.
Why?
Feudu was getting closer to her, stumbling, but with a look of that same eerie hunger. Kofi glared back at him, stayed crouched down until he was within only a few feet of her, and then abruptly stood. She gave Feudu one final, withering look, and brought something to her lips, something small and silver. Ekon had seen her withdraw it from the pocket of the Duraja she'd been searching and hadn't given any thought to it. Now, he saw it was a whistle of some sort. Feudu stopped short as he saw it, stricken.
No,
he said, looking around.
No!
Ekon watched as Kofi narrowed her eyes, took a deep breath, and blew. A low rumbling filled the air, and Ekon felt the ground shake underfoot. A chill skittered over his arms as the Ichisonga charged forward, but the beast did not have eyes for him or anyone else on the lawns. Only Feudu. The god turned as the creature approached, tried to make a run for it, but he was nowhere near fast enough. It happened in seconds. The Ichisonga charged, its great gray head lowered as it accelerated into a gallop. It reached Feudu, and a wet, squelching sound filled the air as the creature's long horn impaled Feudu, the tip erupting from his chest. The god let out a terrible scream of pain, but the Ichisonga did not slow its charge. Ekon felt another wave of nausea as it tossed its head back and forth, Fedu's limp body still skewered by it, and knocked into the fire. A shower of sparks flew into the air, and the bonfire's towering logs came crashing down, its flames licking hungrily at the garden's green grass and beginning to spread. Ekon backed away, watching for one horrid second before he screamed a single word into the darkness.
Run!